Today's daf in Masechet Shvi'it, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Zayin. So what we've been talking about is all of the various shiurim that we've had. As we've spoken about, we've got the primary shiurim, which consists of, turns out, in the of Hashrasha, as we'll do in more in order, in terms of Hashrasha, in terms of Shlish, in terms of Chanota, for Peres, in terms of Lakita, for Yerek. And then we also had special cases, and those special cases were where we've got, we'll see, there's other such special cases, but we took the famous Vol HaMitzri as being the big problem, because we have over there the Machlokas, Rav Shimon Shezuri, and the Chachamim, as to how to take into consideration the planter's intent. So did he mean to use it for Zera, or did he mean to use it for Yerek? And we spoke about the six different situations, which then introduced, besides his intent, it then introduced other questions, such as, did the Hashrasha take place before the Shloshim Yom of Rosh Hashanah? Or such as, did it reach Shlish in the Shana She'avra? Or such as, did it perhaps complete the crop with the hardening of the pods before Rosh Hashanah? Or the question of whether the person who planted them actually had gone, was able to collect some of the Zera before. And the other question is, when he changes his mind in certain conditions where it was too late to change his mind in time for the Shlish, is there a way to actually make the Yerek different than the Zera and have it go according to Shas Lakita? And what we raised, the issue that we raised was, yes, there is. And that is by keeping it unwatered. So if you don't water it for three times, this is the way most of Rishonim learned. Remember, the Rambam had a different explanation, but here we're going to see that we go directly into the next sugya, which is very standard, that the previous sugya defines the Mishnah. In which case, the other Rishonim are actually backed up by the Mishnah that is coming up. So anyway, we were talking about all of those complex interrelated times that are Nogea, specifically the Pola Mitzri in terms of Zaro Liyerek or Zaro Lizera. And because of that, there was one case that actually we left out. And that was yesterday. We finished up the story of the guy who brought up the Pola Mitzri that included Yerek to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who was a Levi, and he had decided that it was considered to be by Zerishon. And since there were so many leaves, Rabbi Yirmiyah said, don't do that again, because it's a Maris Ayin. It looks, people will think that you actually wanted it for the Yerek. Okay. But now the question that we never spoke about was, what is the halacha where you actually have a lakita and a completion even of the zera growth in the eighth year and not in Shvi'is? So there's a big machlokas we've shown you as to what we're talking here. Because according to the way the Rambam understands it, we're talking about a netia that took place. I shouldn't say netia on a semi-vegetable. But anyway, where we did the zriya of the Pola Mitzri, in the year of Shemitah itself. That's how the Rambam understands the halacha. And he understands that it's talking about, so what's our question? Obviously, wouldn't it be usher? And he says, even though you're supposed to be Iker, if you weren't Iker, the Rambam paskins that the Paris are mutter. So according to him, that's what we're talking about. Okay, this is a big machlokas. The Rivan understands the whole sugya to be talking about never a case where somebody, a Yisrael, plants during Shvi'is, you're never allowed to eat what it was that he planted. So either we're talking about a case where it's the Totzeret of a Goy, or it's talking about Shvi'is Bizman Hazeh, which is the Rabbanan, even though the Mishnah doesn't say that before, but it's talking about places where it was always the Rabbanan, and where we were just, was Korav Teretz Yisrael, and it was the Rabbanan. Okay, but whatever the situation is, if it was planted for Zera, so it was planted, this is, some have the actual gears of Zera, but it's clear from the sugya, that if it was planted for Zera before Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, in other words, again, it was planted during Shemitah, and Nichnas HaShminit, now it's already the eighth year, now we want to take it for Lakita. There the halacha is that everything is usher, because since it was planted with the das, is lezera, zera or lezera is the way we should be geres or understand it. So because of that, it goes according to the zera, and the zera goes according to Ashrasha. And over here, Ashrasha is during Shvi'ez. And therefore, even though the Lakita is now the eighth year, it's considered to be usher. Again, what do we mean by usher? Usher mitam svichin, or usher in terms of Kedusha Shvi'ez. Fine. That we had the machlokas we spoke about all along. Big machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashmi Tzantz in general, if something started growing earlier. So there, in this case, it was Nichnas Shminis. Everything is considered to be usher, because since it was planted Lizera, the din is that the Yerek goes according to the Zera. And therefore, that Shrasha being in Shvi'ez users it. Now, how about if Ibidavka was Zara Li Yerek? And before Rosh Hashanah, somebody, Doc, are you want to mute yourself? And Nichnas Hashminis, so over here, before I did the Lakita, it's now already the Shana Hashminit. So then, since we're dealing with a vegetable, because it was Nizra Yerek, the halacha is that both the Zera and the Yerek is Mutter, because everything goes according to the Shnas Lakita. And in this case, the Shnas Lakita was during the Shminis. How about, in this case, remember, this is the last situation, because we've talked about how it's Nogea Meiser Rishon or Meiser, Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani. And we've spoken about the din about the Paris during Shvi'ez. But here we're talking about what the impact is of the differences of Pula Mitzri Binogea Shminis. So this is the last thing that we needed to define for the Pula Mitzri problem. So over here you had in mind both Zera and Yerek, and the eighth year is now here. So then the din is, like we said all along, they have different halachas. The zera, which goes according to Ashrash, in the case we had both kavanas, the zera goes according to the shnas hashviyas, and therefore it's aser. The yerek goes according to the lakita, and therefore it's the eighth year, and the lakita is mutter. Now you'll ask, what about the takana we spoke about yesterday? If people see you taking it, they'll think that it was planted. And over here, we don't have such a chashash, because if it's shminis, anyway, there's tons of salad in the stores that's being sold from Shnas Hashminis, and nobody's going to in any way think that you did it Padafka during Shmit. Okay, so now, as I say, earlier we introduced the idea, two issues. First of all, how do we come up with this concept of Yerek going according to the Shas Lakita? So remember, we were medayek it from the fact that the Torah gave the shear of the Shlish from the pasuk of Migornecha Umiikvecha, and then we were medayik. So Goren v'Yekev, where the growth is basically on the water of what had come from the previous year. There it goes according to Shlish, because that's where its main growth spurt is. Hasha'in came vegetables, where there is no major growth spurt. Whenever it is that you're watering it, that's the point that it's going to be forming vegetables. So over there, it should go according to the time of the Lakita, because it's been growing the whole time based on your watering. So that was one thing that we learned. And we already introduced the question of whether in the case of a Pola Mitzri, if you do a Maisa, we said, you can take away your Machsheves of Yerek and turn it into a Machsheva of Zera, but not just by saying so. You have to do something. What is it that you would do? You would keep it away from water. You kept it away from water, so then the halacha was that it now is clearly no longer to be dealt with as a vegetable, because it hasn't been growing on the most recent waterings. And at that point, you could reassert that it is a legume, and it goes according to the normal halachas of kidneys, right? Okay, so now our mission begins with a similar issue, and now we're going to extend this Pola Mitzri into any type of vegetable where, now this is not, does not mean any vegetable. It means any particular type of vegetable where such things are normally done. Rashi says you can't do this with any vegetable, because then it would be botel daite, etzel rov b'nei adam. But there are vegetables where a determination is made about whether I want to keep it for zera, I want to keep it for usage. It's similar to pola mitzri in that sense. So let's take a look at our new halacha, halacha vav, mitzalim hasarisim. So now these are called sterile onions. What do we mean by sterile onions? So, okay, the Rambam understands in the Pirush HaMishnayos that what we're talking about is normally onions will put out, what do they call those little green shoots? I forgot for a moment. Guys of an onion? Hello?
Rebbe? This is Baruch Avraham here. I'm actually planting onions, sterile and female onions in the field right now.
Ah, okay. So the Rambam learns that your sterile onion, please show it to us, your sterile onion is not really sterile. Because he understands, wow, beautiful. He understands. That's great. He couldn't get better.
Rebbe, 1 second. So these rows of the two ones growing close together, actually males, they're going to produce pollen. And bees are going to transfer the pollen into these two rows, which are sterile males. And they will be pollinated and produce onions for seeds. They're actually going to be collecting the seeds. And the actual males here will just be trashed.
Wow. Okay. Beautiful. All right. So the Rambam learns that the leaves that are coming out from that onions is what it is that won't appear on a betzalim sarisim. What do you call those little sprouts? I forgot. Were your onion sprout? Is this called a sprout?
We when you chop them, they're called chives, but they're green onions usually.
Yeah, but that's a different species, I think. That's not
chives. Not the is
okay. Anyway. So the Rambam learns that those type of things are planted in a very damp soil. And that's why, according to the Rambam, the Mishnah is going to be contrasting a damp soil with a dry soil. That's a very idiosyncratic approach to what's happening. And it's not what Baruch Avraham just showed us. Most of the Rishonim understands that we're talking about sterile onions. According to some, it means that they were made sterile. And the way that you make them sterile is you put them under pressure, you crush them, and that prevents them from developing their own seeds. Okay. In any event, Baruch Avraham can teach us all about this in terms of modern agriculture, but this was the way the Mefarshim explained it in the Yerushalmi. So if you've got these sterile onions, or you've got pola mitzri, now normally these things are watered, and because of that, they would go as vegetables, right? Because they continue to grow. But these things, if you were monameyamayim, shloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah, so by not watering them for 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, you turn them into non-yirakot. So therefore, once you do that, you're going to treat them as zera, because from that point on, they're not like the normal yerek, where the only reason that we were going, according to Lakita, was because of the fact that they're constantly watered. But if you're careful that not to water them, so then they're going to be mitasrin l'shavar. They're going to be going according to the previous year, the same way that we were talking about any type of plant, any type of kidneys. So therefore, there's a nafkamina in the case here between watering or not. Now, the question is, are we talking about if it was Nizra L'Yerek, or are we talking about if it was Nizra L'Zera? If we're talking about Nizra L'Zera, then according to Reb Shimon Shazuri, none of this would make sense, because if it was Nizra L'Zera, you don't have to be Moneyamayim. The halacha was, as it said, that it was automatically goes according to Hashrosha. So apparently we are not going according to Rebbe Shimon Shazuri. Okay. There is, if you remember, a machlokas about how far the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Shimon Shazuri go. Because according to the Grohl, remember we spoke about before, that even the Tanakhama is made that if you were Zor or Lezera, it still would mean they're not arguing about the time Legabi Lakita. They were only arguing on whether you go on Hashrosha or you go on Shalish. But even a Liber Tanakama, the case in the Mishnah would only be true if you planted it Badafka for the Yerek. So therefore, if you planted it for the Yerek, and now you want to change that status, and you want to define it now as the equivalent of Nizra Lazera, then you would have to do something, and this is consistent with what we understood before, which were the six situations that apply to Pola Mitzri. So then if for 30 days before Rosh Hashanah it didn't get any water, then you can't see it as being a post-Rosh Hashanah plant if you were located after Rosh Hashanah, because you weren't growing it. And therefore, we view this as a regular mitasrim l'sha avar, and because of that, they would be mutter in Shvius, and because they're all considered to be. So in other words, the first part was talking about, does it go according to the year of Meiser Sheni, or does it go according to the year Meiser Ani? And Benogia, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah of Shvius, then it would be Nogia, the halacha of Mutarim b'Shvius. But you can't do this with normal vegetables. You only do it with these particular minim where it's not Boto Daita, because many people do that. Imlav, and if it wasn't for 30 days, then they're Oser b'Shvius, and they're Mitasrim l'Shana Ba'am, we view them as vegetables. Now, how about, and this is what the Rambam based his Pirush on, Vishel Baal, in cases where it's growing in a field that is not irrigated, because it's got so much water. So this is exactly how the Rambam says, that's why we contrast the Shel Baal with this one, because these are only grown in that particular damp soil. So then you would not go according to the 30 days. You would need to skip two watering cycles. Now, whatever your sprinklers are set for, obviously is dependent on the din of the extra water that the field needs. So says Rabbi Meir. So Chomib says, no, you need to skip three cycles, and only then is it considered to be a Zera and not a Yerek. So first of all, let's understand, says the Gemara, Mahu Bitzalim Asarisim. What exactly do we mean by a sterile onion? We mean Elin Butzlaya Kufraya Dolo Avdin Zera. I have no idea what that means. I mean, the translation is that they're grown in this small kfarim and they don't have seeds, but, you know, as I said, the Mefarshim say that that was the what people do in order to get the onions that Baruch Avram explained to us. I don't know why it's called Kufraya in the terms of Kvar. Maybe it has a different end of Kufraya, similar to Kufra figs, but I haven't found a shot that attracts me. Okay, so we said 30 days is the time. What is the Svara? Because Amar Rebbe Mana, once you keep them unwatered, and mana me'amayim, shloshim yom, lifnei Rosh Hashanah. So they become like normal totzeret of a state ba'al. And that is where you would normally be growing kidneys. And because of that, we treat them exactly as kidneys. Because if you don't water them, you cannot look at them as being yerek. The whole point of yerek is that they are being constantly watered. Now, Rabbi Yonah boy, the question is, when does this go into effect? In other words, are we saying that it's now clear that you've kept the water away from them for all of this time? It is now clear that all along it was a kidneys and it was meant for Zera? Or are we saying, no, I mean, only after, from this point forward, is it considered to be a kidneys? So is it Lamafreya who nasa Zera? Or is it Mikana Lahaba? What's the Nafkamina? Ma nafak mi benehom is the Hebrew for what's the Nafkamina, Nafkamine. So what is the difference between the two sides of this question? The difference would be if you went ahead and you went and did a Lakita, some of which was Betosh Shloshim and some of which was La'ach Shloshim. Okay, so in Temalam Afreona Cesara, if you're going to tell me that if I kept it away from water, that is an indication that Milachat Chila we treat it as being Nizrael Zera, and because of that it goes according to the Hashrosh or according to the Shlish, so then I would be able to take Meiser from the stuff that I had collected during the 30 days, along with the stuff after the 30 days, because now they're both in the same circumstances. But in Temar Mikana Laba, if you're going to tell me that it only becomes a kidneys from this point of the 30th day plus, so then I can't take off Meiser from one and the other, because one of them is still going to be considered to be a Yerek, and the other one is going to be considered a Zera. Well, you can't take from Eurocos on Zera. It's two completely different things. And because of that, you're not able to be Meisering from one on the other. Okay? As usual, we don't end with the word Teku or Kasher, whatever. Whatever. We don't know. So the Yerushalmi leaves it hanging. Now, we come to the seventh Mishnah. Halacha Zayin. Now we're talking about an equivalent situation in which you want to use the pumpkin for its seeds. So what you might do is leave it attached to the vine, and then you just let it dry up, and you don't pick them, and you let them shrivel where they are, and then you take out the seeds, which are left after the flesh has already dried up. So then the halacha is like this. Hadiluim shekiman lezera. You kept them in the field because you want to use them for seeds. So imi kshukshu lifnei Rosh Hashanah, v'nifsilu mi'ochel. So if they got hard before Rosh Hashanah, and now we think that these are different dinner, and they became poso mi'chdei achila. So they're no longer consumable by humans, even though they're still able to be chewed on by behemoths. And remember that there is still a din of shvias on things that are good for behemoths. So then the halacha is that it's mutter for you to actually treat them as if they are considered to be peres shishis. Because since by the time Shviyas came along, they were no longer usable. So then for all intents and purposes, I don't care about the fact that they were dried out pumpkins on a vine. I mean, it's irrelevant that they're on the vine. For all intents and purposes, you picked them. At the moment that they no longer were edible, then they were picked. And now you've got your Zera in the pumpkin. And therefore, obviously, they would be mutter because they're peres shishis. And mutter l'kama b'shvias, the fact that I leave them on the vine during shvias is irrelevant. But imlav, if they didn't get to the point where they were nifsal mi'chdei achila, so then you wouldn't be allowed to keep them during shvias, because since if they were still edible at the beginning of shvita, we can't say that you already picked them during shishis. Because of that, the point is that they are viewed as tetzeret of shvias. Now remember that this is the old machlokas about the Rambam and the Rash Mishans, because according to the Rash Mishans, if they were already growing in the Shona Hashishis, so then they're never called Svichin. And therefore, when we talk about the din, what we mean is that it would have to be used with Kedusha Shvias, and you're supposed to be using Kedusha Shvias, and it says in the Pasuk, La Ochla, it's there for uses of eating, not for other uses. And therefore, that's what it's referring to. So you can't stock them to be used, you know, okay, we'll put them into little seed bags and we'll sell them for seeds over the next 10 years. You can't do that because it's dafka is la'achla. Fine. What about the tomorrow, Shalahan? Asurot b'shvi'id. So any kind of, now this is a machlokas also, soft sprouts that came out of them. So tamarot would mean the same lashon as, you know, tamarim. So they've got these buddings on them that look like they're going to grow new pumpkins. Those are considered to be new growth, and they're also in shvias. Okay, there's a machlokas here whether the tamarot could actually live. It's a different plant, and that it can't be meaning that. It just means that since they look like sprouts, even though they have also become hard and unedible, but because of that, there's a din of Maris Ayin. Okay, that's a totally different approach. Now, what about halacha of watering a field? So as we've spoken about many times when we did the Mishnah together in the Masechet, so the question of the word mirabtsim, what does that mean? I mean, meraptzim literally means, you know, give it a splash. So give it a splash, according to some, means that you don't actually give it a full watering. But the way they used to water was they used to simply open up the faucet, so to speak. Obviously, it would open up the gateway to the Amat HaMayim, and the Amat HaMayim would flood the field. That's a real watering, deep watering. But then, as we spoke about, remember earlier, that those shitas who hold it meraptzim means literally to use sprinklers. So they would put the water into a basket with holes and then walk around with the basket with holes. Or we talked about using branches from a palm tree. So it would be like splashing water around from a puddle that then you splash it with the lulav and so on. So some learn that meraptzim is dafka meraptzim. And it's not a real complete watering. And others say the only reason we're using the word meraptzim is not because it's usher to do a normal water. We use meraptzim because of the fact, Rene, you're driving me crazy. Are you walking through water? What's going on there? We use the word meraptzim as meaning that this is, since this is not something that normally needs the full watering. So we talk about it as meraptzim because it doesn't mean it's part of a schedule of a full watering, but it doesn't mean it has to be done differently. So anyway, if you're talking about ofar lavan, so ofar lavan means the soil in estay lavan. Estay lavan is talking about what we call estay yerek as opposed to estay lavan. Now that type of thing normally doesn't need irrigation. So that's how we refer to it. As a non-irrigated, nonetheless, you can add that little bit of water, which is why we use the word meraptzim. Now, let's remember what the din is of watering a field during Shemitah. Because basically, the Torah did not asur. We only have the four avos, which nothing is mentioned about watering. And there's another issue that's involved. And that is that many times where you have something things are growing and you've got the trees and there needs to be water in order to prevent damage. So because of that, remember that the Mishnah Maitkotin said that you're allowed to be mashkin beit hashlachim during Shvias and during Chol HaMoed, right? So anyway, we were makel because where it's a question of survival, we are actually makel. So now the question is, are you allowed to do any kind of sprinkling in a field, which is the type of field that normally it survives without additional water, and you want to give it, where it's a little bit dry, you want to give it a sprinkle. So fine. So this is what we're talking about. And Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed to be meraptzim. And as I said, many learn that that means only a sprinkle. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he answers it because it isn't necessary in this kind of field. So you were talking about it's growing, let's say, vegetables. We're going to be picking it after Shvias, and there should be no, if you're going to pick it during Shvias, obviously that we're not going to be matir because those will be also because of Svirchen, at least according to the Rambam. He holds, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, that only a type of soda that needs, for its survival, it needs irrigating. But for a normal ofar lovan, that doesn't need irrigating, and therefore we don't matter during Shemitah. Then there's another question. When you're growing rice, so as you know, rice is grown in paddies. That has a lot of water. And over there, what you need to do is you need to have a mud which the rice is growing in. So there you're going to have to add water and stir in order for the rice to grow. So the halacha is that according to Rabbi Shimon, Mimarsin Ba'orez B'Shvias, you're allowed to actually stir it up, which would include giving it a really good watering in order to make sure that it's muddy. And then you stir it, and by stirring it, you help it to grow, or you also make sure that the mud settles into any type of places where the water would, in the end of it, escaped from, and you make sure that there's always going to be water there for your rice. But Rabbi Shimon is made that. That lo mechaschin. So this is interesting because the very same Rabbi Shimon who says that where we were talking about, remember we had the grapes that had the leaves over them, and he said that you're allowed to take off those leaves in order to avoid damaging the grapes, but he would not say that legabe the din if you learn that it means both the Rosh and the Rashbi sons learn that here mechaschin means the same thing as taking off leaves that he was matir when it came to the gefen. He asers to actually cut down these orez, because in the orez, if you do that, it encourages new growth, and because of that, it's similar to Zriya. Ask the Gemara, do we need to talk out that they became hard? You said they were pasul for achilas adam. So what's the difference how hard they are? Afilo lo ukshu. If they're not roi for achila, so why can't we just view them as being essentially vegetables that were already taken off the vine? So what would be the meaning of adding hukshu? No, that's Gufa, what it's coming to tell you. That once they become hard, then they become the same as Zirune Gina Shein and Necholin. They're considered to be inedible types of vegetables. That's the point. So the reason that you can keep them is because they're as if a different species that are not meant even for consumption. How do you know whether something is that dry? Ketzed ubodek. Says Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, you take a needle and you penetrate, you make a little hole in the pumpkin with that needle. You remove the needle. If the hole seals, so in other words, that means that there's enough moisture in the meat of the pumpkin to seal up the hole, so then it's still usher to keep it during Shemitah because it is still an edible vegetable. But if not, that means that there's not enough moisture to make it edible, and therefore, in love, it's mutter. Okay, more fun with pumpkins tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. Meanwhile, wishing you, and I hope Baruch Avram will take us out to his pumpkin field or his gourd field and show us some more of those halachas. It was really marvelous being out there with you today, Baruch Avram. Thanks so much. Wishing everyone a day of Besuras Teves, Yeshuas, and Nechomes, and may we be zeichet to Yeshuas Hashem, Keheref Ayin. Kol tov.
Amen. Rebbe, what is the secular date?
9/11.
No. The pumpkin day of the year.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
It's the American Halloween. There you go. Well, was midi delora misa biaraisa.
But David Solomon said of Baruch Avram, he's outstanding in his field.
Beautiful. Okay, Rabbi, thank you so much. Go to see you, Bezrat Hashem, later.